This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hour 4, G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan here in about 5 minutes or so. We'll get you your edition of Football's Finest, but it's time to talk with Jared Sandler, get a spring training update live from Surprise where the Rangers fell to the A's this afternoon, 6-3. Jared, how the heck are you?
Guys, I'm doing well. How are y'all?
We're doing outstanding. Thank you very much. Wanted to get an update from you on Adolis Garcia's oblique here before we go any further. How serious is this injury?
Well, and guys, you'll have to tell me if something was tweeted within the last 5 minutes just because we were on air. But my understanding is we don't have any update on the MRI yet. But even if it's minor, even if it's like Wyatt Langford's, I think it would put opening day in jeopardy. I think Wyatt's going to be okay for opening day as long as he, continues to ramp up like he's been doing. But with Adolis, this would be an aggravation of an injury he suffered in 2013. And we're starting to see this more and more for hitters who are violent swingers. And Adolis is a big swinger. He's a muscular guy. And so my guess is the Rangers wouldn't want to do anything to put him at risk for an extended absence. And so even if that means, he misses a week of the season, if it's something that's not that major, it very well could put opening day in jeopardy. We'll probably know more tomorrow, and we'll see the severity of it and how the Rangers respond.
These guys need to get some yoga going or what?
It's crazy, Gavin. I'd say over the last, 4 or 5 years, as we've talked so much about pitchers being max effort guys, but hitters have started to become max effort swingers. And, you're not seeing as much bat control, right? The all or nothing, the uppercut swing, the home run, go for it type approach. And that's led to an increase in oblique injuries from position players. It's obviously not a epidemic or anything, but it is an injury that, can cost you several weeks, maybe a couple months. And there's a high likelihood of re-injury if you don't take the proper time and care, just because, the oblique, which is something I had never heard of before, like 15 years ago, is a pretty critical muscle for a swinger. That sounded odd, but a batter who is swinging a bat, and maybe a swinger as well, I don't know. And so we're starting to see more and more of these injuries pop up.
Jared Sandler here with you on your home of the Rangers, Wolchuk.
Dunning got the nod today. What are you thinking overall with the plan for Dane Dunning coming into this year?
Yeah, I think he's competing for a spot in the bullpen as the multi-inning long guy, kind of Swiss Army knife who can also start and fill in, as needed. The thing that might work against Dane is that he's still got an option left, which, you wouldn't think with his tenure with the Rangers, but the Rangers could send him to AAA and not risk losing him. Whereas Adrian Hauser, a guy who's maybe competing for a similar role, the Rangers couldn't do that. If Adrian Hauser has a good enough camp to justify being on the opening day roster and the Rangers don't put him there, that probably means some other team is going to claim him. Unless Adrian just really badly wants to stay with the Rangers organization. I don't know, you know, if that's the case. My guess, he would choose a major league opportunity over a minor league opportunity, no matter the organization. So, you know, Ty would maybe go against Dane in that sort of thing, but that's the role that would make the most sense for Dane, is, you know, a multi-inning long guy who you could slot into the rotation and make a spot start as needed.
Sans, other topics from today's game. Jock Peterson got a hold of one pretty good.
Yeah, hit a two-run home run in the first. That was nice to see. And then Josh Smith hit a home run off of Mason Miller. And Josh Smith was in right field, which is interesting. I think the Rangers have a lot of different options and combinations they can roll with if Adolis does miss time. But I think one option is Josh Smith playing right field, and he got some run in right field today.
Hey, when you look at, Evan Carter, he had a double today. How would you kind of evaluate how things have gone for him at this point? Nice to see him get the two-base hit.
Yeah, you know, the batting average hasn't been great. You know, it seems like he's been hitting the ball hard against righties, but, you know, every at bat, we talk about how spring training just doesn't mean a ton in terms of end result stuff. But for certain guys, certain things matter. And I think for Evan, every opportunity he has against a left-handed pitcher matters. And he still just doesn't look totally comfortable against left-handed pitching. And, you know, I think as many reps as he can get, either in a Cactus League game or in the backfields, is going to be valuable for him. Because, you know, I think he's got so much talent. You don't want him to just become a platoon player. Now, if that's what, you know, it ends up being, that's what it ends up being for Evan. And there's nothing wrong with that, you know, if you give it a fair shot. But, you know, I think that there's enough foundational hitting ability where you think, like, man, you know, this guy should be an everyday player.
Right.
But so far, he hasn't really shown a level of comfort against left-handed pitching, but we'll see how that continues to unfold.
Jared Sandler brought to you by Advanced Hair Restoration. Go to advancedhair.com. Kamar Rocker's tough spring training so far. Is there anything you can put to that?
Gavin, his curveball hasn't been great, but there are guys who they come to Arizona and their curveball just kind of dies because of the climate. It's not a great climate for breaking stuff, but you know, it's not like other guys just lose their curveball. So it would be nice to see him refine that power curve. I don't anticipate him struggling to refine it, but that along with fastball command have been big issues. I would say for Kamar Rocker, because he's had two rougher outings, I am curious to see what the results look like the next time he takes the mound. And I would like to see some level of success, if nothing else, just to see that curveball back in the mix is a big weapon for him.
Okay, and then riddle me this. Does Shohei Ohtani versus Travis Hunter, which is more impressive, do anything for you?
Yeah, I thought about it. I mean, I think just being a two-way player, you know, in baseball versus football, it's probably more impressive in football. But Shohei's not just a two-way player. He's the best hitter, and he's probably the best pitcher in a rotation. So I think, to me, doing it at that level is maybe more impressive on the diamond. Now, if Travis Hunter is the best, you know, lockdown corner and the best receiver in the NFL, all right, then let's have another conversation. So maybe all things being equal in terms of impact, I'd go football. But I think for Travis Hunter to downplay, you know, Ohtani's contributions and the level at which he contributes, that to me is maybe a little misguided. And I would say that, you know, we've never seen anything like this from anyone in baseball, maybe since Babe Ruth, and really not even including Babe Ruth. Whereas Travis Hunter is not going to be the first person to try and do what he's doing. I'm curious to see what level of impact he makes on either side, and then maybe can have a more intelligent conversation about it.
Sounds good, Jared. We'll catch up with you. They play again tomorrow, right?
Tomorrow against the Reds, yes, sir.
Right on, buddy. Have a great evening out there in Arizona. We'll chat with you soon. Jared Sandler, pre- and post-game show host, insider, play-by-play man. He's just a Ranger broadcaster extraordinaire. Time now for an edition of Football's Finest, and here's Wolchuk.
All right, we'll get to some college stuff here in just a moment. If you did miss, of course, Osadigizua got his four-year, $80 million deal. Big extension for Saquon Barkley. He's the highest-paid running back in all of football, over $20 million per year. And we got this from Jordan Reed, who covers the draft for ESPN. This is a bummer. Possible Cowboy target there, 12th overall. But Georgia edge slash linebacker Jalen Walker will not participate in his pro day on the 12th of this month because of a quad strain that he suffered during training. So Walker will have a private workout for NFL teams on April 17th. So that's like, what, a week before the draft?
Wow, that's really close to the draft.
Man, that's that is a big bummer, because I'm sure a lot of teams would like to get him in there and see how he moves, like maybe in some linebacker drills,
Yeah, exactly. You're going to send your linebacker coaches and your defensive line coaches to that workout.
Gosh, that's that is a bummer. We've talked a lot about the spring games. And Matt Rhule really set off the trend. Sark followed suit. So Oklahoma is the latest to not have their annual spring game. They instead are going to do a Crimson Combine, is what they're calling it, replacing the spring game with a fan-centric event on April 12th. And this event will include players and coaches partaking in combine-like drills, skill challenges, autograph and photo opportunities, and more. Now, who is the head behind this? Well, it's Jim Nagy, who used to be with the Senior Bowl, now is the general manager there at OU. So this is a brand new spring football tradition for fans like Carter Freeman to get out there and check out the Oklahoma Sooners. Instead of the spring game, it's the Crimson Combine.
Well, that sounds fun, innovative. You know, super different. Fans are get out there and pay $20 for parking, still get a fundraiser going.
Right, like they still want to find a way to just generate revenue.
Sure.
If we're not going to have the game. Texas is targeting Neil Brown for their staff.
West Virginia, right?
He's the ex-West Virginia coach. He's been connected to several openings. But Texas has done this. I mean, I think Coach Patterson was one of the first that, after he lost his job there at TCU, Texas brought him on as a consultant. So maybe Neil Brown now gets an opportunity at Texas as he tries to again become a head coach down the line. But Arch is cashing in on NIL deals. Okay, so here's Arch Manning's latest NIL deal. This is with Uber, but they also are offering in Austin the driverless cars to come pick you up. So here is Arch, Arch Senior, and Cooper Manning, of course, Arch's dad, in this Who's Manning the Car commercial for Uber.
Dad, what do you think the name of this driver is?
I don't see a driver.
Arch, do you Uber to class? Because I noticed you get a lot of parking tickets. You must be driving somewhere.
Tickets are brutal around campus, so I think Uber is the way to go.
I've just spent a couple bucks, but it drives a lot better than Arch did last night coming from the airport. That was the worst.
I missed like three turns.
How does Waymo know we're at a red light?
Yeah, I thought you told it. Dad, did you have a computer in college?
I did not.
Did you have a cell phone?
Of course not.
How old were you when you got a cell phone?
Probably 65.
Dad, you can go to class with him. You want to go to class with him?
Oh, look, we've arrived.
Now have a great day, son.
Have a good day, class.
Yeah, thanks for the ride, fellas. Hopefully no one sees us.
Give us a big hug.
Hi, boss.
Oh, yes.
Bring it in.
Waymo, thanks for the ride. Appreciate it. Hope to see you soon.
All right. You got me in my seatbelt. You got to get me out.
You got me back. Appreciate it, Waymo.
So Waymo has partnered with athletes like Tracy McGrady, Andre Jackson in the past. They're now reportedly giving more than 100,000 rides a week in major cities on the West Coast through its own ride-hailing app. So now they got a deal with Uber. They're bringing that to Austin. So they're having Arch Manning launch that campaign with Waymo and Uber.
I love it. You know, I think first of all, there's one extra seat for you to sit in.
Yeah.
Second of all, you don't have to worry if it's bad company or too much talking or rude, you know. So there's just sort of an awkwardness there of jumping into a vehicle that another stranger is in, you know.
When
I can avoid that.
What's the last conversation you had with an Uber driver? Because there's no way you're having a conversation with an Uber driver.
Oh, I will if they want to.
They start talking to you. You don't want to be rude.
Yeah, really? No. I had a conversation last summer with I believe a Russian gentleman who was trying to guilt me into giving him a bigger tip because he drove me from LAX to Oxnard so I could rendezvous with you guys after Abby's birthday. Right. Yeah. And he was telling me, "Yeah, I'm out here driving. It's my son's birthday. They're having a birthday party at home with me." And he kept circling back around to that. But that was a good conversation. And then there was some gal who was, I think she was hitting on me actually in New Orleans.
Oh.
So I was flattered. I mean, she was like 60, but I was like, shoot, yeah, I'll chat with you if you're that into me, you know? So we had a nice little conversation there. I'm not against it, you know, but I would rather avoid that so I could work, you know? Like, if every day you have a 40-minute drive to work, could you imagine just being able to check email and, like, getting a jump start on your day? It'd be nice.
It would be. If they talk too much, do you leave a note?
No.
Does that impact the tip or anything at all for you?
No.
No.
It's usually pretty standard.
This is the last thing here, NFL News of the Day. Illinois football has added a Taekwondo grandmaster to their staff.
Yeah.
So this is Brett Bielema, who, of course,
He needs some hot yoga.
Oh, he could use some hot yoga? Yeah, he probably could. Yeah. But I think this is pretty neat. I guess Bill Belichick was ahead of the curve on this when it comes to understanding the Taekwondo impact.
The first team I ever saw do this was San Francisco 49ers.
So I guess Bill did this in the early 90s.
Oh, did he?
He recruited the service of Joe Kim, a Taekwondo expert who was training Americans who competed at the Olympics and other international competitions. Taekwondo primarily revolves around the kicking and punching that will draw a flag if they're deployed during a football game, of course. But I guess Kim trained over 250 people who obtained a black belt in Taekwondo, and he was able to translate those principles to create the pass rush philosophy he's attempted to instill while working with over a dozen NFL teams for the past 30 years. So we're mixing in some Taekwondo. I mean, it made me think of Micah going to Japan, and he's working with those guys,
sumo guys.
Wrestlers. Mm-hmm. Now we're mixing in some Taekwondo.
Yeah.
There could be some cool stuff here.
It would be pretty interesting if they let edge rushers do flying kicks, you know? Just mix it up a little bit. Add some to the toolkit.
Ha-cha!
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay, if you're going to allow a flying kick, what do you give the offensive tackle to be able to what specially drill does he get?
He could catch the foot and sweep the other leg, you know.
Okay, so you can counter it then.
Yeah,
I mean you just can't have to like try and block.
No. You can definitely counter it once they go for the flying kick.
All right,
you know I do I am interested in fair play, but I just think there's some opportunities here that could make the game a little bit more entertaining, and some of these edges are so athletic.
Yeah,
you know.
So a good roundhouse.
That's right. Yeah, that'd be a surprise, wouldn't it? Might need different footwear, you know, just to avoid the injuries and stuff. But just thinking outside the box a little bit. Yeah. Okay, time to hit the expressway. We'll go commercial-free to the top. LA Live's coming up at 5:40. We'll get you up to speed on everything that's been breaking here in the world of sports, including a big restructure for the Cowboys that'll lead the way. That's coming up next year. G-back.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
G-Bag Nation, the fan. Yeah, buddy, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. Time to hit the expressway where we go commercial free to the top. And the expressway is brought to you by the on-time experts. I think the biggest thing going right now is could the Cowboys actually unleash a spending frenzy, or should they? And the good news on that is Brian's saying he's hearing they're not going to try to bottom fish through free agency this time around. They're looking for more of that, maybe that second wave of players with healthy contracts, but not the market breakers.
Right.
So I think that's great. And on that note, they got a restructure of CeeDee Lamb that frees up about $20 million. There's another $37 million out there that they can free up with a DAC restructure, and then some other smaller ones could free up another $15 or so, more than enough cap space to make a significant impact, especially if you consider they got quite a deal on Osa Odighizuwa. It was heading for the franchise tag at $25 million a year. Instead, it's 4 years and 80 for the Cowboys and Osa. Just about 3 years of that is guaranteed. I think the total was $56 million guaranteed. So very healthy payday for Osa. But the Cowboys kind of cleaning up there on a very team-friendly deal with a guy that was just a few hours away from reaching free agency, Brian.
Yeah, that's... it's always good to find an agent that you can work with. They were very confident in that. They were very motivated. I know when we were in Arizona, I was trying to keep tabs on what was going on in Indy. They were working really hard at it. They thought they were going to have it done, you know, several days ago. But there were some things that they had to kind of make sure that they got right. And obviously they did. So good for Osa, good for his agent, good for the Cowboys. Kind of a win all the way around. The Cowboys, when it comes to some of these signings, don't always have the win. It always seems like they're massively, you know, it's a last minute thing and all that. Yeah, even though this came down to today, they got on it early enough to where they felt pretty confident that they were going to get it done over the weekend. And here we are, you know, with it done.
I mean, I think they try to leverage their situation being on America's team and having such a spotlight on it with these players, and they're offering like 15, 20, 25% below market value. And I think a lot of these players need to think about it. Do I want to test free agency and move out of here and not know what kind of a situation I'm in, or do I want to stay? And for probably less than half of them, I think they get to this situation, they're like, no, I don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And the agent is doing a good job saying, you need to think long and hard about taking this because this is less than market value and you might end up regretting it.
Yeah, the thing that the Cowboys have kind of struggled with now in the agent community is the nickname that you've given them.
The caveman.
The caveman.
Yeah.
And, you know, and hey, listen, does it sound unfair? Sure. Is it, you know, is it mean-spirited? No, not in that way. But the agent community has kind of said, listen, if you just make Dallas wait this thing out,
yeah,
you can put them over a barrel. And, So they like I say, this one, they were motivated. They got some really good legwork done in Indianapolis. Like I say, the agent plays a huge role in this.
I think it's an easy decision for players to take the long-term security, yeah. Especially in such a violent game. I wouldn't want to come back and bet on myself to stay healthy. Even if the Cowboys have a history of caving, I could play poorly, and then all of a sudden I'm only looking at 25. I mean, if you say, okay, my career earnings are going to be $50 million, you're probably going to buy a house worth somewhere between $5 and $10 million. If you bump it up to 60, now you're buying a house between. I mean, your added home is going to suck up so much of that money if you don't necessarily have to have the most money possible, so you can say I stood on the principle and extracted maximum value. I think there's just such a bigger win for the majority of players to take the long term security.
Absolutely, and it works out because you have a player that knows that he wants to be here. He said, I want to be here. They obviously had the relationship with the agent where they felt like, all right, we can get what we want here. I know they've gone to battle with others like Cantor and Todd France, probably going to do the same thing with Mulligetta. Not all the agents are sharks. They found one that it's, hey, my client's happy. He's cool with that number. He wants to stay here. It worked out. It doesn't always work out that way. But, I mean, Osa knows what he has here. And I know he had a Q&A with Patrick Walker of DallasCowboys.com, talked about his mom and how after he signed, he smiled, he hugged his mom, quote, she's never going to have to work again. So he knew, I've got more than enough money now to take care of myself, my family. I'm at a place where I'm happy. Not all players think the same way, but Osa, certainly they were able to make a deal work for everybody.
Well, we've seen the franchise tag work against a player, and with Anthony Spencer, you know, franchise tag twice, had like, got the first one, then the second one, like, thinkingly played two or three games, maybe one game.
Had the microfracture surgery.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, he's done.
Right.
So, you know, you're better off trying to go for the security of getting that contract done when you
definitely
can.
Especially if you weren't a high pick. You know, if you're not a first round pick, you haven't generated generational wealth by the time you're done with that rookie deal. And, you know, congratulations to Osa for securing that. It was cool. He had both his mom and his dad at the contract signing deal there. But on that note, from the Cowboys' perspective, Sean and RJ had a great discussion this morning, and the point that went viral, the Eagles have 13 guys making $10 million or more. The Cowboys have 7. The Eagles are going after Myles Garrett and giving Saquon Barkley today a 2-year extension for $20 million. Cowboys will probably struggle to do anything as impactful as a Myles Garrett or a Saquon Barkley. But, you know, I made the point earlier. I wanted to circle back on it and see what you guys think. You know, It's easier than ever to win a Super Bowl is the premise. All you have to do is take a boatload of money from the future, and you have to have the cash flow to do it, which the Eagles sold 10% of their organization, 10% of the franchise. They generated $650 million worth of cash, and they used that to fund contracts today, fund signing bonuses today. Buy up a roster that absolutely obliterates the league, who is stuck in a mode of worrying about their future cap situation. If I was the Cowboys right now, I'm looking at what is left of Dak Prescott's prime. This is our chance. After he walks out the door, we don't know when we're going to have a quarterback good enough that with an absolutely loaded roster that can stop the run, can run it, has good corners, has good linebackers, has a good offensive line. Nobody's stepping to that in the NFL right now, Wolchuk.
No.
I mean, the Eagles, by the time they figured things out at midseason, were virtually unbeatable.
They were, and it is a model that you'd like to see the Cowboys follow. You mentioned the cash flow of that. I mean, the Eagles sold a percentage of their team. The Giants are selling a percentage of their team. I don't think the Cowboys ever do that, but you're right. I mean, you get the restructure of CD. That's not the player taking a pay cut. CD's going to see all of that money. It's just restructuring to help the Cowboys with the salary cap this year. They can restructure Dak, right? Now, all of this, we've kind of seen it where they're just re-signing their own guys. Maybe they do that. Maybe they're re-signing Deron Bland. Maybe they're looking at Micah. But they've got to keep doing this where, all right, they got a good deal done with Osa. You got to keep building. So that's why I liked hearing about, all right, tier two in free agency. Maybe you look at some of these wide receivers, think, hey, Devontae Adams, we can bring in, and he's not going to be overly expensive. defensive. We like that. Maybe it is one of these linebackers that you're looking at. You know, could it end up being an Azir White, who's 29 years old from the Arizona Cardinals? Maybe you still go ahead and bring in some of these defensive tackles. You know, whether it's a Puna Ford, who's 29 years old, former Texas Longhorn, a DJ Jones of the Denver Broncos, a name that I brought up previously. But you've got to continue to try and build around this, because we might look at the Cowboys and say they're far away, they're not contending, they're not a Super Bowl team. They're conducting themselves by paying Dak, by paying CD. They have to be. They've got to at least try right now, or else what are you doing? Why? Well, why pay Dak?
Now is the chance, because the whole league isn't doing it yet. You know, like, I guess the Giants and the 49ers are talking about selling 10% of their team to fund signing bonuses. And, you know, there's obviously the Jones family has billions of dollars, but how much of that is tied up into investments? Do they have the cash flow of the $300 or $400 million that they could, you know, manage to transfer over into players' accounts? Sure. Probably not.
Right.
Because when they get nine figures, they're like, let's go buy another business. Let's invest in something, a concessions business, a construction business, more oil and gas ventures. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that goes to how all in is your ownership team. And right now, Philadelphia is showing it's real easy to win a Super Bowl if you're willing to give up 10% of your franchise to get the capital, the liquidity that you need to pay all the players that you need in order to win. The rest of the league is not trying to build super teams. Philadelphia just set a new standard for, hey, this is how you win championships. And who cares what our cap situation is in 5 or 6 years if we have a dynasty? That's what they're trying to do. They're trying to recreate the 90s Cowboys, and they're 2/3 of the way there over the last 7 years. So we see here with the Cowboys how long multiple championships can sustain you. It's coming true for the Patriots. All you have to do is be willing to sell a portion of your team, and I bet people would be lining up around the globe to get in on something like this. Or, you know, sell one of your energy bills, businesses, sell some real estate, come up with the kind of cash that it really takes to get in this game, and give the fans, I think, what they deserve after 3 decades of sitting around. I do think it's easier than ever to get that thing done. Okay, Shoddy on the OC found another quote from Schottenheimer that didn't make it on my feed last week. He was talking about Clayton Adams. This is a great sign. He's been the kind of fast riser. He's a guy that I've been tracking and saying, if I given the opportunity to be a head coach, a guy like this would compliment me in some areas that I quite honestly need to be complimented. Isn't that a breath of fresh air? After hearing how maybe Mike McCarthy would be threatened by this coach or that coach, didn't want this coach talking with the personnel department, threatened him. Knowing what you don't know and saying, hey, I got a blind spot here, I need help. I mean, it seems weak on the surface. Like, well, I'm the head coach, I'm supposed to know everything. Wrong. Mm. Nobody can know everything. Do you know what you don't know, and can you find somebody smarter at that part of it? And this is Schottenheimer, who's an offensive guy, you know, saying that about Clayton Adams. So massive a principle for leaders in all industries. And for the first time in a long time, I think we have a head coach that actually is capable of thinking along those lines.
He certainly is receptive to new ideas. And that was something that we had kind of heard about him prior to getting the head coaching job. He had to be forced to be a middleman in communication, I think, a lot of the time. And when you look at the staff he's put together right now, I think that there is certainly reason for optimism, bringing guys from the college ranks that have maybe fresh ideas. Like, the stuff's trickling up from the college ranks. It used to be different, right? We're not really taking college tendencies. You certainly are now. So from the running game aspect from Clayton Adams, when you add in Coach Riley and Coach Adams, what they're going to be able to do at the wide receivers coach and the offensive line coach, I like what Shoddy's doing so far with the staff.
There's mutual interest apparently between the Cowboys and Kentucky defensive back Maxwell Hairston. Ran a 4.28 in the 40. Visibly excited when he talked about the Cowboys at his scouting combine interview with America's team. Okay, some baseball. If you didn't hear it, news broke earlier this afternoon. Adolis Garcia oblique. Bochy saying he can't tell you how long he's going to be out until they get the results from the MRI. But Sandler, who just joined us, is talking about opening day is in jeopardy.
Yeah, absolutely. I think anything to deal with, you know, with especially with, and we saw it with our own eyes, like the violence that Adolis,
swinging it,
even at training camp, you're kind of like going, holy geez, but here we are, you know, and unfortunately, that's an injury that with a guy that relies on his ability to turn on the baseball, this one's probably going to be for a while.
903 says, I work for one of Jared's oil companies, and he's got plenty of money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he can. I'm sure that it's not a problem. But what they look at is, if we spend big now, then a bill's going to come due against the cap in 3 to 4 years, and then we're going to be, you know, plunged into the cellar.
I think the biggest difference between the Eagles and the Cowboys is their general manager. If he makes a mistake, he moves on quickly.
Yeah.
You know, they've had some bad drafts.
They have.
They've had some first round busts, but they're quickly able to identify that and move on. They don't kind of lag around and hope that the guy's going to develop and all that. They're like, listen, we missed on Rieger.
We gave you 2 years and it didn't work.
We've missed on some players along the way, and they're quick to move on. And this is where Dallas gets in trouble, is they will hang on and maybe even extend.
Yeah,
you know, and that's a big, big issue.
I mean, and they are spending $400 million of future money to buy this team. Yeah, that's four additional $100 million contracts. And that's my point, is that if you were willing to stop at nothing to have a dominant roster, you could go get it done. It's just a matter of writing the checks now and, you know, paying them off down the road. Heartbreaking answer from former Ranger first baseman Nathaniel Lowe about what he's going to miss most about being in the great state of Texas with his Rangers.
What will you miss the most about Texas? Is it a player? Is it one of your teammates? Is it something outside of the ballpark?
I think after spending 4 years there, aside from the three losing seasons and obviously the world title season, I felt like I was able to branch out and actually have friends. You know, like, I had friends that were in different golf clubs and I get spoiled and have access to go out and play with them, you know, like, but people that, like, through my wife and her friends, I have a friend group and it feels like an extended family. You know, like, you don't go to church all season and then you get to go on Sundays in the off season and feel like you're actually plugging into a community. I got to see the local high school team and hang out with some of those kids, like, get to go to a batting cage, not at the field, for the first time this winter, and hang out with other pro players that are, like, in the DFW. So having access like that and having a network like that, I'm definitely going to miss working around them, but it's going to make an off season great too.
All right. Well, salute to Nathaniel Lowe, and thank you for your service and delivering that World Series championship. Mm-hmm. How about the mass exodus from the Mavs game last night? End of the third, getting blown out. Kyrie's out of the game. It's tough to watch.
Yeah.
Almost everybody left. That did look like the 90s Mavs at Reunion, didn't it, Brian?
It did. And you know, the guys and the gals on that I feel terrible for. I feel terrible for the players. I feel terrible for the coaches and the staff.
Yeah.
That sit there and tried to just battle through this thing. And every time you feel like there's going to be a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel, that, hey, we might be okay, we're going to fight this the way through.
Yeah.
You get another massive injury like that. And, nobody feels sorry for you in the league. None of the other teams feel sorry for you. But I'll say this, I do feel terrible for the coaches on that bench, the staff on that bench, because they've tried to hold this thing together the best they can. And you could tell, in just visiting with some of them, that it's been more than they can even endure.
Heartbreaking.
Wears on.
Yeah. We might have to get ready for another Jason Kidd, "Nobody died tonight" post game quote.
Yeah.
As I do think it's possible they could lose out, especially if Washington's ankle is an issue. But how about this? Shams on Anthony Davis. His reps are going to huddle up. I think they're going to have some very hard conversations, and it's not out of the realm of possibility that one game was the last time we've seen AD this season. He's talking about not playing. And if he's not going to play, then I think you need to talk with your veterans about, hey, let's just make sure that nothing can threaten your health for next year and give some of these young guys an opportunity to play and try to force yourself up the board there in that draft lottery.
Yep.
That's the best thing that could happen with the remainder of this season is give yourself a...
They gave a great... For what they had left, like I say again, those coaches and staff... They gave all they could to try and get this thing to go in the right direction, but they're going to have to now. It's going to be the slow death is what it's going to be, because they have to play out the rest of the season.
Yeah,
and they're going to try and win games. I guarantee they are, but they're just not going to have enough good players to do it.
No, you're going to need an incredible game from Spencer Dinwiddie or Jaden Hardy.
Yeah,
you know, and I think you'll probably get a combined 5 or 6 of those in the remaining 20 games. It's time to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
Girl, I know you like that drink to the sun up. All right, man, let's get into a Toxic Tuesday right after the great Rick James.
But all right, you squares.
Time to smoke. Fire up this funk and let's have a toe. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
But I just saw this headline. Is it still safe to fly? The shameless media. I love when they're trying to just scare the out of you to just like get you to watch something. They never have the balls to just make a statement. They always do it in a question.
Yeah.
Is this the new America? Should we be worried about this? Is it still, were we right when we blah, blah, blah? Like, why would you listen to people that are that unsure of themselves? They're going to scare the out of you with literally with just a question that they know in their head has an element of bull. So they got to like protect themselves from libel or slander. So they just present it in the question form. Or what it is if you present this information in a question form, all of these mouth breathing morons just jump on the, I don't think it's safe to fly anymore.
Nailed it.
Bill's been on one lately, bro. Nice. He has been on one lately. This is LA Live for Tuesday, March 4th, 2025. It is a toxic Tuesday here in LA Live, and LA Live is sponsored by Greystone Roofing and Construction. That's graystone-roofing.com. Tis the season. I went outside this morning. It was roof particles all over the ground.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Everywhere. Man, so yeah, it's the season.
Saw some airplanes that were upside down.
I did see
airfields.
That.
Yeah,
I did see that. NBC.
Yeah,
they were right in front of a airplane that was upside down.
Yeah,
doing their hit.
Yeah,
sure, you can see the airplane right there in the background.
Yeah, exactly.
Plane turned over in the wind.
Wow. Oh yeah. Like the airfield. There were planes up laying in the airfield upside down.
You know, little Cessnas and stuff like that.
Yeah.
The ones that scared the hell out of you.
Yes.
When the guy's at the strip club is like, hey, I got a plane, I can take you up.
Yeah. Want to go to Bermuda?
Neither tonight.
Speaking about 7 hours.
Yeah. All right, it will be a Toxic Tuesday as advertised. Tonight is the State of the Union, the State of Our Union.
Mm-hmm.
So it might get political here in LA Live. Fellows, are you watching the State of the Union?
Yeah, I'll be watching that tonight.
Yeah.
At least get the highlights.
Okay. I was getting ready to ask. Do you ever watch the State of the Union, or do you just go for the clips that hit social media?
I think this one is interesting enough, but I think I've only watched two or three in my life. Yeah. But this one's really interesting with the tariffs. They're in, they're out. What are we doing? Like, the economy seems directly tied to it.
Oh, it's one hell of a time, bro.
I like the after game match where they had, like, the person, like...
The opposite guy come in there, like Bobby Jindal.
Yeah, responding for the Democratic Party, and then they just kind of go off.
Bounce back and forth.
But do you like the fact that, like, there's a lot of clapping and a lot of standing up?
Yeah.
Yeah, it got kind of... Well, you know what? I was a little upset by it when I first started realizing what was going on. The man would make a good point.
Yeah.
And then everybody like, boo!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Get
everybody else is sitting down like, what the hell?
This is trash.
Yeah, everybody just sitting. And, you know, it's a home game, I guess.
It is a home game.
It's a home game, I guess.
Yeah.
And then you play in away games at some points. But, yeah, you can make a great point. Everybody just sitting there on their hands like, no, we're not going to clap. Even though we might think that makes sense, I'm not going to give you that.
Bro. Your boss is watching.
Yeah.
You better not clap for that, man.
You're going to clap for that guy.
What he says.
A lot of standing up, a lot of clapping.
Yeah, I'll probably watch it tonight. The Raging Cajun brought us. You know who I'm talking about. This man represents LSU all the time.
James Carville.
James Carville.
He wears more LSU gear than me.
He puts on a lot of LSU gear.
He will wear his military, his Marine Corps hat.
Yes.
And he will wear a lot of LSU sweatshirts and stuff.
That's pretty much what he had on when I recorded the audio that I'm going to play later for you.
Yeah.
The Raging Cajun was being hella toxic when talking about the president. He was being really toxic.
Hey, called him names.
I mean, he should have just called him names and left it at that. He went too far.
No, he goes way far.
Yeah. He's attempting to give a president a medical diagnosis. We'll play that later. But first, G-Bag of the Day. We do it every weekday on The Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. Lucius Alexander on Facebook. That is L-U-C-I-O-U-S. And yes, Facebook is still sad. It is sad. Every time I go over there, I'm like, geez, man, sad stuff. You can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. All right, right here. This is not sad. This is happy. We're going to New Jersey, Brick City, New Jersey high school basketball, Glassboro versus Woodbury. Round one of the playoffs. Woodbury wins by a half court.
Everyone is standing in this gym. Parents, students, and relatives alike. I don't know if this should advance the ball or not.
Nice question, coaching.
There's two seconds left. 2.3. What can the herd do? They pass it along. Half court heave. Oh! Oh my gosh! Oh! The Woodbury Thundering Herd have brought the Capaign Gymnasium to its knees. Half court heave. How do you do? I'll repeat myself again.
Just in case.
How do you do? I have never seen anything like that in my life.
How much for Sports Center do you,
I'm crushing it.
Yeah.
This is amazing.
He did his job, though.
He did.
He did his job.
He didn't overmodulate, right?
No.
A good high school broadcast, right?
He did
right?
not.
Yeah, I got those guys. Garside, that kid Garside.
Yeah, Garside.
He keeps hitting these game-winning shots.
Garside.
11% of the game scheduled. He's won on a three-pointer in the last second.
Get out of here.
This guy, Garside, did it again this past weekend.
All right.
And the guys on the broadcasting mics, they didn't modulate. They didn't overmodulate.
They got it down. They fixed it up. They fixed it.
Yeah, I'll play it for you later at some point this week. I like it. They're aware now, which is kind of killing the fun to me.
It is killing the fun.
It is. Killing the fun, man.
Garside's doing it too.
Garside. All right, LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a Toxic Tuesday. The Raging Cajun, Mr. James Carville. Do we take him serious?
Yeah.
We take him serious? As a political pundit?
He's a Democratic strategist, and he's married to the Republican strategist, which is hilarious. I think her name, Marion Madeline, is her name, but she was like, they both run presidential campaigns against each other, and they're married.
Okay. You're not going to run mine if you. No.
Yeah, they're married. And like, yeah.
I need somebody else, not the guy that's married to the person that's running against me, too.
That's what they do. They've battled like getting presidents elected, both of them, which is hilarious.
I bet they have some great arguments in the house.
Absolutely.
No, you got to listen to my fact, honey.
Yeah.
I like that.
Still married.
All right. Well, the Raging Cajun says that President Trump is suffering from some type of madness. Raging Cajun is looking at the hands of Donald Trump and said he can like eyeball a medical diagnosage. Did I say that right?
I think so.
Diagnosis.
First time or second time? Which one is it?
I thought you were right. I just threw a third one in there.
All right, let's get to this clip because it's kind of long, but I want to know why James Carville is talking like this. Why are you talking like this, dog?
There's something clear. There's an expression here in South Louisiana. It's not totally true, but it's you mostly hear it from black people. And they'll say, that boy ain't right. And if somebody's obviously having some kind of a personality disorder or whatever. Well, when you look at Trump, the first thing that comes to your mind, that boy ain't right. A man who's obviously for a long time been in decline, who's fat, who doesn't sleep at night.
Okay, come on. Already we are.
He says he's fat and doesn't sleep at night.
Yeah, how do we know?
Yeah.
Who eats nothing but hamburgers and crap, who's almost 80 years old. I pointed out on this very channel where Trump had red splotches on his hand, which I was told by any number of medical professionals that when you see that condition, the first thing that you suspect is syphilis.
Oh.
Yeah, we know from any number of videos that his wife doesn't want to get in the same zip code as him.
Oh, God.
If you had a spouse that had syphilis, I'm not saying he does.
I'm not saying he does.
Clear. I'm just asking questions.
I'm just asking questions.
What if?
I'm not saying.
Come full circle. Here we go.
You see why the clip is there now.
Holy moly.
I'm not saying. I'm just asking questions here, folks. Is Gavin Dawson a thief? I'm not saying he is. I just want you to examine it.
Bring up some good questions, LA.
But what you saw is madness. And I don't mean madness like I'm mad at you, you mad at me, you didn't say this. I'm talking about madness like King George III kind of madness.
Okay.
And it could be a combination of being a fat and slob.
Whoa.
Is this AI George Carville?
What's going on?
This is really Carville.
Is crashing out.
This is really him.
You can't talk like that.
This is
the president of the United States, sir.
He doesn't care.
Have some decorum.
He does not.
You must get up from the table talking like that. Mm. You must excuse yourself, sir.
And it could be a combination of being a fat f***ing slob, which he is.
It could be that he can't
sleep at night because his beached whale body can't allow the circulation it needs. I don't know. I'm not a sleep specialist or a medical doctor. But I think we should revisit the possibility of a syphilis diagnosis.
We should revisit that. She's going to bring this back up.
That's toxic as hell, bro.
I was wondering why we hadn't seen him on TV in a while.
That's toxic as hell. James Carville, the Raging Cajun, crashing out right there.
He's doing podcasts now.
Man. I guess you get to a certain age and you don't care. You know, you're just letting it fly. I think he hit that age.
He didn't care. He'll blame the Democratic Party, though, too. James Carville will go after the Democrats.
When he said they got syphilis, he's going to look at somebody else?
No, it's syphilis.
It's pretty close. Yeah. It's pretty close. He has a lot of blame for his own party.
I can tell by that boy's hitching his giddy up.
Yeah.
He's probably got a little syphilis he's been dealing with.
But I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor.
I'm a medical sleep specialist.
Ask the questions.
Yeah, I think he said the Democrats should lay down and play dead. Because it'd be more effective than what they've been trying.
Yeah.
James Carville is wilding, bro. A lot of famous people had syphilis, though, apparently. Al Capone died of syphilis.
Oh.
Dang.
Howard Hughes,
I believe that.
R.I.P.
Christopher Columbus allegedly has some syphilis situations.
The Nina, the Pina, the Santa Maria.
That's what he named them when the little spots come up.
Yeah. Oh, look.
Ivan the Terrible.
Oh.
They said Mussolini has some syphilis situations going on. I don't know if this is true or if it's just straight slander at this point, bro.
Syphilis.com.
Yeah.
Syphilisslander.com.
Yeah.
They did have red splashes on their hands, though.
Napoleon.
Whoa, Bram Stoker. That's the guy that did Dracula, right?
Dracula, yeah.
They said that man had... Oh, hold on. You want to hear some Dracula? Made me think of something. Hold on. This is not even what I was wanting to do, but I made a playlist of songs that vampires would have sex too.
Oh, that's awesome.
This is one.
Monster Mash.
This is one, bro. Let's see. Idi Amin had some syphilis, they say.
Yeah.
Van Gogh, President Lincoln's wife.
Oh.
How does she get that?
Mary Todd? Is that her name?
That's what they're saying, bro. Uh-huh. That's what they're saying. It's kind of crazy. Looks like we have a new trend. It's a challenge, if you will. President Trump has renamed a body of water.
Yes.
He renamed a Gulf.
Yeah.
Yep.
Texas Governor Greg Abbott wants to rename KFC to Texas Fried Chicken.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick says he wants to change the name of steaks.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said a resolution will be filed to rename New York Strip Steak to the Texas Strip.
Yeah.
At restaurants and grocery stores here in the Lone Star State.
The Texas Strip.
Noted that Texas leads the nation with 12.2 million head of cattle, the most in the nation. He says it would now be the Texas Strip.
What's going to do with Kansas City strips?
I'm with it, man. What do they know about a strip steak up there in New York? I heard most of their cattle are dairy cows anyway.
I hear you, bro. It's a new challenge. I got to figure out something I want to rename.
Now, so you have the New York Strip, but then you have the Kansas City Strip, which is bone-in.
Okay.
So, I don't know which one I'd prefer, but, I think if we're
Kansas
stealing.
City.
Yeah. I think
bone-in's good.
Bone-in's good.
Yeah, you get that flavor with that bone. That marrow get the seeping in there.
Yeah. Sure. I like the New York Strip's my favorite. Or the Texas Strip. I mean, I'll call it that.
Texas Strip.
I'm also petitioning to call the Philadelphia cheesesteak just the cheesesteak.
Oh, there we go. Catching the trend.
Yeah, but Philly.
Maybe we add Texas to it.
Add the Texas cheesesteak.
There we go. Yeah.
We're putting Chipotle mayo on it.
There we go. I like that.
Why don't we just break away?
Well, I think that's in somewhere.
That's in the card somewhere.
This is somewhere. Let's see what else we got before I get on out of here.
Is this vampire sex?
Yeah, I made a playlist of songs that vampires would like to have sex to.
Yeah.
This is definitely one. She's got all that dark makeup on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. What's up? Yeah. This might be a little toxic, but this show called me Meatball. They gave me the nickname Meatball from the Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
Okay.
And the guy's name is actually Meat Wad. So this is perfect for this show to actually get the name wrong.
Okay.
This is this show.
they were calling you Meatball?
They were calling me Meatball. I don't know why.
Huh.
I don't know. I've been working on it. Okay.
How'd you get on the radar?
I've been working on it. No, I'm talking about this is show next, right after ours.
Oh, okay.
It's the fan after dark. They're calling me Meatball.
That's ridiculous.
It's personal, bro.
It is personal.
Should we kick their ass?
No, I'm still in shock. You know?
That's what you call like a younger henchman. You know, you don't call a contemporary a Meatball.
I don't know. I don't know. Anyway, I heard this clip on Saturday, and I said, I'll be damned if this does not sound like the fan after dark having a serious conversation.
What comes down but never goes up?
Rain.
Rain.
That's actually not true because if they say evaporation is real, then rain does go up. But
evaporation isn't rain. Evaporation is its own process.
Came from what?
Rain isn't even a thing. Rain is a process. Water is what is being come down. Rain, water leaving clouds, falling onto earth, that's rain.
So when it's raining...
When you catch it, you don't catch
what is
rain.
That? What am I catching?
Water.
That's a raindrop.
Rainwater. A drop of what? What is it?
Rain.
It's water.
Yeah.
You put it in a glass. Are you drinking rain or are you drinking water? It's raining water.
No, I'm drinking rain.
What?
Where something originates, where something comes from is rain. What that thing is called.
It originates from the cloud.
Okay, so now if I get struck by lightning, I didn't get hit by lightning, I got hit by electricity? That's what you say?
Lightning is what it is.
Well, what is lightning?
Lightning.
It's not electricity?
Is it electricity?
Yes.
Okay, so you got struck by lightning. When you hold your hand out in a rainstorm, what is hitting your hand?
It's a raindrop I'm catching.
Bro, what's a lake? Water.
But what do you call it?
A lake.
Thank you.
Rain is water coming down.
What?
It's definitely a Fred and Blake conversation.
Definitely.
You can just put any subject in there and they'll flip it back and forth just like that. And you're like, what the hell am I listening to?
That's couple amazing. Of meatballs.
Loving every minute of it too. Yeah.
Couple of meatballs. More songs that the vampires like to screw to. All right. My name is Lucius Alex. Yeah, Freak on a Leash for sure.
Good stuff.
For sure.
Where do we get this list?
I don't know. I might post it one day, but you can't monetize these things, can you? If you make a list, can you monetize it?
Spotify, I don't know, maybe.
I could monetize it. I might
absolutely
give it out.
Could, yeah.
All right. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black on a hump day. Lord willing, the creek don't rise. That's my time. Peace. Holla.
There he goes. LA Live every night about 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. I'll ask you four questions, and we'll decide where the Mavs go from here to pick up the pieces. Coming up at 6:20. But it's time for some baseball talk, Wolchuk. What kind of bases trip do you have for us?
Yes, let's base, shall we? We've got a spring training debut, and would you eat this? It might be a wiener. That's next.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at Omicid.com. That's Almased.com.
All right, everybody, it's here. The march to spring training and opening day is officially upon us.
Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.